So you're looking for a church. Don't be looking for a church, by the way. But if you were looking for a church, and something catches your attention, you see something laid out someplace, has a mission statement, and this is what it says. I purposely did not put this up here, so listen to this mission statement here. The mission is to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority, advocate practical common sense, oppose injustice, and undertake noble pursuits. Did you get all that? Okay. So I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, sounds all right to me. Sounds pretty good. I would like us to encourage benevolence and empathy, reject tyrannical authority. I don't like, all that, whatever that is. Advocate practical common sense. I'm for common sense. I like common sense. Oppose injustice. I mean, who's not for that? Injustice is a terrible thing. And undertake noble pursuits. All right, so sounds good, right? What if I were to tell you this is the mission statement from the website of the Satanic Temple?
What?
What? All right, so I say it sounds so benign. It sounds okay. It sounds acceptable.
Sounds good.
But we know the Satanic Temple is in direct opposition to the things of God and complete opposition to biblical Christianity. My question today is, how are you at discerning things? Because you would agree with me, right, that the world is throwing all kinds of things at us all the time. And what do you believe? What do you think of all this stuff? And I've had to throw out a bunch of stories here. But what about this? We live in a culture that if something is spiritual, it's good. If it works, it's good. What if somebody is healed by voodoo? Then I guess voodoo's okay, right? I saw a bumper sticker that said witches heal. Witches heal. Now, we can argue about whether or not witchcraft is truly healing, can heal somebody. But the more important question is God okay with this? I mean, you and I, children of God, people who we've given our lives to God, is God okay with some of these things? Here's another story from a missionary in Sri Lanka. He said, when I and my wife, we were in Sri Lanka, we spent time with a family there where the husband was a Hindu. And this man had some amazing stories, stories of spiritual encounters and pilgrimages that they took and experiences that he had. And he said it was nothing short of supernatural. He had dreams. He had visions. He had prophetic insight. All this, and he said at the time he was young in his faith, and he could compartmentalize things in a couple of different areas here. Either this is real, and there's something to it, and this is a true religion, or it's not real, it's delusional. Maybe mind altering drugs. I mean, there's got to be some kind of explanation, right? So it's either this or it's this. And he said later on, as he grew in his faith, he realized there's a third category. That yes, it is real, but it's not of God. It's not of God. So you have experiences. You hear things. What do you do with it? What do you do with it? I like this. I saw like when you think about the metaphor of marriage. We are the bride of Christ, right? We are the bride of Christ, and how marriage is a metaphor of our relationship with God. And in a marriage, there are. A marriage is exclusive, right? There are certain things you're not allowed to do. You took a vow to be faithful. Well, as Christians, have we not taken a vow to be faithful to God? And being unfaithful to God would include things like going to a fortune teller or a psychic or witchcraft, black magic, new age gurus. And I'm thinking the list can go on and on and on and on. God, in some of these cases, God has strictly said, you're forbidden to do that. That is not from me. That is not of me. You will not be blessed if you do this. And yet we live in a world that's encouraging these things. The Bible tells us not every spirit is from God. Not every spirit is from God. This is our text in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Just let me give you another example here. I went to Haiti, and there's a lot of voodoo going on down there. But you see some people who are really trying to live for Jesus Christ. They come to Christ, they're living for Jesus Christ, but they get sick, our family member gets sick, and there's this great temptation to go back to what they grew up with, to go back to their old ways, to go back to voodoo, because voodoo maybe worked for them at one time. So they're tempted to go back to something that God has strictly forbidden. And I'm thinking, voodoo's not our problem, praise God, but I'm thinking there are things that God has called you out of, but they worked. But God says, but that's not from me. That's not of me. I will not bless that. Are we tempted to go back? It's not voodoo. I mean, it might be something else. I don't know what it would be for. I just think as Americans, we're blind to our voodoo. We're blind to our idols. But we need to recognize God has called us out of certain things. Don't go back. Test the spirits. Do not believe every spirit. And my message, the heart of my message here is, stop it. Just stop being gullible. Christians should not be gullible. Stop believing everything you hear. I give you all these different examples here. People on TikTok. You hear the term snake oil. They're selling snake oil. You see it with fake emails. How many fake emails do you get per day? And I read this: the second most lucrative industry in Nigeria is scamming foolish Americans out of their money. We know they're doing it, and they're making money off of it because there's enough stupid Americans that are buying into it. You see it, how many cults do we have in our world? One religious researcher estimates that there are over 4,300 religious cults in our world today who are preaching something other than Jesus, something other than the Word of God. And how many people are buying it? How many people are listening to it? The Bible warns many false prophets have gone out into this world. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test every spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. Many false prophets are perverting the truth. And I don't know why. Why would they do this? Is it for money? Is it for power? Philippians talks about it, is for selfish ambition, selfish gain. Is it for fun? I mean, just mean. Whatever it is, so what I talked about last week, I want to bring this back again, where John talked about there are children of God and there are children of the devil. You and I, we've given our life to Jesus Christ. We are children of God. Well, it says in John chapter 1, verse 4, I think, is that if you receive Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, you become a child of God. But there's a lot of people who aren't children of God by default. We don't think they're evil people. They're not mean people. But if you're not a child of God, there's only two categories. You're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. The Bible says that this world is owned by the devil. And if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, then what's that make you? I'm not saying you're a mean person or a nasty person or a terrible person, but either we are intentionally working for the glory of God, or we're intentionally or not intentionally, we're just not doing it at all. We're just oblivious to God. There's two categories here. So to the Christian, this is what Jesus says. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Now that verse has always bothered me. You don't have to. I mean, you could get rid of the wolves, couldn't you? But he's chosen not to. He's left the wolves here. He says, I'm going to send you out like sheep among the wolves. And then he goes on. He says, therefore, be shrewd as snakes, but innocent as doves. So here what Jesus' command is, we need to be innocent, even though there's wolves all around us. Now, that in itself is hard. Be innocent. But then he goes on, he said, and be shrewd. Don't buy into everything you hear. Don't fall for everything they're selling. And maybe you're in school and you hear something, the teacher says something, teacher teaches something, professor in college says something, and you got it. Is that of God? Is that of God? Are you watching TV? And the movie, you're watching the news, and whatever you're watching anymore, you're like, Is that of God? Is that of God? You're watching a debate? Is that of God? You know, so all these things. And what Proverbs 14 says, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. And I'm thinking as children of God, we need to be prudent. Let's not be simple. And here it talks about how to recognize these false prophets, the spirit of falsehood. It talks about the spirit of falsehood in 1 John 4, 6. The spirit of the Antichrist is what it's referred to in verse 3. And in verse 5, it says, they are from the world, and therefore they speak from the viewpoint of the world. And it goes on and says, and the world listens to them. So I see three characteristics I want to highlight here from these false prophets, these people who are selling you a bill of goods, these people who are lying to you, deceiving you, the people who are actually children of the devil here, the false prophets, main false prophets, they are from the world. It's called Satan owns this world. They're not from God. They don't belong to God. They're not serving God. They're not working for God. They're from the world. Okay? And they speak from the viewpoint of the world. Do you recognize this? That Christians have a worldview, a certain worldview, because of the Word of God, because of the Bible, because of our faith in God, that there's something outside of this world. I mean, this world just didn't happen. There's something outside of this. We Christians, we recognize that. But if you're not a Christian, you have to explain it another way. So your viewpoint is completely different. Your worldview is completely different. And Christians need to recognize that, because we're listening. I just see this, I think over the past 50 years, maybe even 100 years, the church has been heavily swayed by these people who aren't teaching the Word of God, people who don't believe in God. Evolution is an example of that. Example after example after example. They're speaking worldly wisdom, not godly wisdom. There's a vast difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And yet it can sound so convincing. They can sound so sincere, so intelligent. And this is what I've seen. The Christians, like, we get sheepish. We feel foolish because we don't know how to respond. We don't know how to answer some of the things they're saying. But we need to recognize they are from the world. They're speaking a viewpoint from the world. This is secularism, which I think is a great evil in our world. It's a world without God, and the church should say no. No more. You're ruining our world. A world without God, a world without God's wisdom. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. And I've lived long enough to realize my way isn't cutting it. I've got to do it God's way. And my thoughts are not God's thoughts. My thoughts are pretty bad thoughts. But God's thoughts are wonderful thoughts. I need to do it God's way. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this evil world, and he's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news that is shining upon them. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So they are from the world. They speak a viewpoint from the world, and get this, and the world listens. The world eats it up. The world buys it. The world, because it says in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Oh, there's a huge lesson for you and I, children of God. Are we thirsty for the things of God? Are we thirsty for things that would itch our ears? That these false prophets are saying and teaching. And I would tell you, a problem is many churches are catering to the world. And I would like for us to be, there's a term, seeker-sensitive versus seeker-driven. I would like for us to be a seeker-sensitive church. If somebody doesn't know Jesus, I want them to feel welcomed here. I want them to feel comfortable here. I want them to be able to hear the truth. But there's a big difference between being seeker-sensitive and being seeker-driven, where we do everything to appease the person of the world. No, we exist, especially for Sunday mornings, we're here to glorify God. And if you're not a believer, hey, you're welcome to join us. I hope you enjoy this. But we don't exist to cater to you. We exist to glorify God. You get that? You understand that? But too many of our churches are catering to trying to get an audience with the world. And I feel like they're selling out the Word of God to do so. I got more I want to say. I don't want to say it, though. I got to share this. I got to share this story here. This is Baghdad Bob. Have you heard of Baghdad Bob? Anybody serve in Iraq? Operation Iraq Freedom raged. Mohammed al-Shahaf, Iraq's Minister of Information, daily refuted clear evidence that Iraq was losing the war. You remember this war? You know, so this on this April 6th, I guess this is 1999, I don't know when this was, after the coalition forces seized Baghdad Saddam Airport, renamed it Baghdad International Airport, they started flying planes in and ventured into Baghdad itself. The Miami Herald quoted Mohammed al-Sahaf saying, "We butchered the forces present at the airport." And on April 7th, U.S. troops penetrated central Baghdad and stormed Saddam's Republican Palace. And the Washington Post quoted Mohammed al-Shahaf saying, "There is no presence of the American columns in the city of Baghdad at all. We besieged them. We killed most of them." All right. What's that? What you call that? Propaganda. That's what that is. Propaganda. And they said it was so comical that it was so unbelievable. But it didn't stop them. He kept on saying all these lies, 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 lies. Yeah, and this is how Satan is in this world. Satan's already lost, but he's continuing to hurl out these lies, these insults, this condemnation of saints, and some people are buying into it. And I just, as you as a child of God, don't buy into that. You know who you are. You are a child of God. You know that God wins. It doesn't matter what these false prophets say. So stop listening to these false prophets. Don't listen to them anymore. So that's, okay, there's a test. They're from this world. They speak the viewpoint of this world, and the world is listening to them. That's false prophets. Here it is. It says, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. You and I, we are commanded to test the spirits. Some are from God, some aren't from God, some are demonic. In this word test, when it says test, what does that mean? You have an obligation to examine what's being said, to prove, to scrutinize, in order to see if is this genuine, is this something from God or is not. Remember the Bereans in the book of Acts, when Paul went to preach the gospel to the Bereans, and they liked what they were hearing. But they didn't take Paul at his word, and you all shouldn't take me at my word. One of these days, I'm going to go crazy, and you all need to be aware of that day, okay? So, but the Bereans, they tested Paul. Now, the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. That is how we need to be. Receive the word of God with eagerness, but you better make sure it's the Word of God. Somebody's not misquoting the Word of God, misrepresenting the Word of God. We are to observe. We are to understand. We are to evaluate. Some spirits are not of God. Some spirits are evil. Some are demonic. Some are deceptive. Some are destructive. And what I'm saying here, this needs to apply more than just going to church. Going to church needs to start there. Going to Sunday school. What are they teaching in Sunday school? But what about at home? What do you watch on TV? Is that of God? Is that not of God? You ever watch a movie that they're just blatantly bashing God? You know, God is the bad guy. Christians are the bad people. You see that stuff all the time. Or what you hear at school. I really worry. We have a whole generation that has bought into stuff that is just pure lies. I can give you tons of examples about that, but and I think we see the same thing happening in politics. We're just being lied to left and right. And Jesus warns, watch out that no one deceives you. This is Matthew 24. Many will come in my name, claiming I'm the Christ, and will deceive many. Every single New Testament author warns us about false teachers and false prophets. So Jesus there in Matthew 24, Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2, there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and bring the way of truth into disrepute. Now, remind you of 2 Corinthians 11, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And he's good at it. He's good. Many will follow him. Many are following him. John tells us here in 2 John chapter 1, verse 10, he says, if someone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Jesus, don't invite him into your house or encourage him in any way. Anyone who encourages him becomes a partner in his evil work. It might be a person, he doesn't realize he's serving Satan, but that's what he's doing. He's serving Satan as he rejects the gospel, as he rejects Jesus, as he rejects the word of God. And notice before I move on here, who is responsible for testing the spirits? The leadership of the church? That's not what it says. Everybody. Everybody has responsibility. You have a responsibility to test the spirit. And how do you do that? John gives us a pretty clear test here. Verse 2 and 3, this is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So listen, what are they saying about Jesus? Start right there. What do they say about Jesus? And what do the Muslims say about Jesus? What do Jehovah's Witnesses say about Jesus? What do the Mormons say about Jesus? Right there, yeah, it's a lot of different stuff going on out there. What is the truth about Jesus? It goes on verse 3. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is in the world already. Now, in John's day, the problem was people rejected the fact that Jesus was human. Jesus couldn't be human. He only appeared as human, but he couldn't really be human. He was God. That would just be too much for him to make himself a man. Now today, I think that the problem is just the opposite. Today we have a hard time recognizing Jesus as God. People will accept that he's a historical being, that he existed, that he was real, but God, come on, really? Was Jesus God? And the Bible teaches clearly, Jesus is fully God and fully man. I remember leading a Bible study one time on the humanity of Jesus Christ, and I didn't see this coming. They were just talking, got these notes here, and yeah, Jesus here, look at this verse, look at this verse. And then within about 10 minutes, I was bawling my eyes out as I was thinking about what it meant for Jesus to leave his deity behind, to become one of us, so he could die in our place. So he could be tempted in every way just as we are, but without sin. Jesus, as a man, came to fulfill the law. As a man, he came to bear our punishment. As a man, he died on a cross. As a man, he rose from the dead. He didn't do that symbolically. He really did that. And it tells us here, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist. If God did not become man, if Jesus did not die for our sins and rise again, then our faith is meaningless. Is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. We are of all people to be most pitied. But no, the fact is God did become a man. Jesus did die for our sins. He did rise again. This is a fact of history. Now I got to get into this little problem here. You get over to Mark and you can see there's demons who actually acknowledge Jesus. Right? This is in Mark chapter 1. There was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Okay, a demon's confessing who Jesus is. Here we're talking about these false prophets who won't confess Jesus as being the Son of God, being God or being man. And here these demons would recognize Jesus as God, Jesus as man. What do you do with that? So the word confess, when John says this is how you recognize the spirit, every spirit that acknowledges Jesus, every spirit that confesses Jesus, not like the demons. They acknowledge Jesus, they confess Jesus. But when John's talking about confessing, that's with your whole heart, that's with your whole mind, that's with your whole soul, that's your whole being. You are confessing Jesus. You're embracing Jesus. You're embracing the truth about Jesus. You're putting your trust in Jesus. You're exalting Jesus. You treasure Jesus, the truth about Jesus. That's what confessing means. So not just giving Jesus lip service. So when I talk about you need to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior with your whole heart, with your whole mind, with your whole being, you embrace Jesus. So that's enough. Number one here, what do they say about Jesus? Jesus is God. Jesus, fully man, fully God. He died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He reigns in heaven forever. That's the truth about Jesus. What do they say about Jesus? If they say anything else, they're lying to you. Secondly, here's how you recognize the Spirit of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit within you, okay? God gave us this precious gift, the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with this gift that God has given you? In 1 John 4, verse 4, you, dear children, are from God. You're children of God, and you have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in you. Who is in you? The Holy Spirit that God has given you to lead you, to guide you, to protect you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That still small voice that tells you, don't listen to that. The still small voice that teaches you to walk in the ways of God. The Holy Spirit protects us from people who are manipulating the Word of God. And how many religious people out there, they're using the Word of God, they know the Word of God, and they're twisting the Word of God because they're trying to manipulate people or control people. And then you got to ask, are you going to listen to that person, or are you going to listen to the Spirit within you? You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. I would tell you the Holy Spirit inside of you is the biggest proof that you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit inside of you is what gives you the assurance of salvation. Satan can't mess with you when you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you know you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and the Holy Spirit is helping you walk in obedience. The Holy Spirit is helping you live pure lives. The Holy Spirit is helping you endure. The Holy Spirit is helping you to love your brother when you don't want to. The Holy Spirit convicts you. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you're in step with the Holy Spirit, Satan can't touch you. These false prophets can't touch you. Greater is the Spirit inside of you than those false prophets that are out in this world. One more test I give you. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Listen to the apostles. John says this in verse 6. We are from God. And when he's talking about we, he's not talking about like all of us. He's talking about we the apostles, who God sent out, who Jesus empowered, who Jesus taught. You know, they spent these years learning from Jesus. And it's the apostles who gave us the Word of God. We don't have the apostles. I can't go to John and say, John, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? But the apostles recorded the words of Jesus for us. They recorded the will of Jesus for us. So he who listens to the Word of God that the apostles gave us, that's what it's saying here, we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. They listen to what the apostles wrote about God. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of falsehood. I go one more. Peter wrote this in 2 Peter. He says, but know this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit, they listened to the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. That's how we have the Word of God. We can put our trust in the Word. I put my trust in the Word. I'm almost 60 years old. I have learned this has not let me down. Everything else has. That has not let me down. False teachers don't have a very high view of the Word of God, do they? How many people, they demean the Word of God, they ignore the Word of God, they twist the Word of God, misquote the Word of God. A lot of people just ignore the Word of God, completely ignore it. It's one thing to appreciate the Word of God. It's another thing to submit to the Word of God. I would ask you, what's your view of the Word of God? What's your view? You're like, it's an interesting book. It's a book I don't understand. I appreciate it. You know, I've got one next to my bed. I read it, you know, like back in 1950. Or do you submit to the Word of God? This guides your life so that you are not gullible, so you don't fall for all the stuff, all these lies that are out there. It keeps you on the straight and narrow. It keeps you in the will of God. What's your view of the Word of God? So beware, be warned. This is how we recognize the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of falsehood. All right, back page, let me just give you a couple quick things here just to apply everything I'm trying to say. First of all, don't believe everything you hear, right? Do you have that problem? Some of us don't have that problem. Some of us really have a problem here. Many false prophets have gone out in this world. And just because someone says God told them something doesn't mean God told them something. A lot of people say a lot of stuff. False teachers, false prophets, they get their information from evil spirits. Christians get their information directly from God, through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through Jesus himself. So don't believe everything you hear. Secondly, don't make decisions based on feelings. What is that? Your feelings are your flesh. We're not to be led by our flesh. Something feels good, something sounds good. So, people buy into that all the time because it feels good. There's a lot of things that feel good that aren't good for you. Don't make decisions because something feels good. And third, don't make decisions based on popular opinion. Because what's popular? What's popular is what the false teachers are teaching. What these deceivers are saying. The world is listening to them. And if you're following the world that's listening to them, they're going to lead you right over a cliff. So don't listen. Don't make decisions based on popular opinion. Let me close with a little illustration here before I get the last three applications here. There's a harbor in Italy. Maybe, I don't know, do I have the name of it? I don't have it, so I just got a story. I've not been there, so I don't know. In this harbor, apparently it's a dangerous harbor, and ships were wrecking all the time, crashing on the rocks. So they put up these three lights in this harbor on the strategic locations here, and if all three lights lined up, then you were safe to travel the harbor. If the three lights didn't line up, you're going to wreck, and you're going to sink. That's what they say, okay? So you had all these three lights had to be lined up. In a very similar way, what John is telling us here, God has given us three lights that need to be lined up. First of all, Jesus. You need to know Jesus. You need to know that Jesus is fully God. Jesus is fully man. Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Savior. So know Jesus. And secondly, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Be in step with the Holy Spirit. The one that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And the third light that the Word of God gives us is the Word of God. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, they need to be lined up. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, is what John wrote. Whoever knows God listens to the Word of God. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, do they line up? That will protect you from buying into a lot of stuff that's just wrong. A lot of stuff that is not of God. You are commanded to test the spirits. My goal for us is that we be prudent people, not foolish people, not people who just want our ears to be itched, and we buy into all these lies, and we destroy our lives, and we destroy the lives of the people around us. No, we listen to the Word of God. We serve God. We're children of God, and this is how we do it. And I want the worship team to come up, and let me tell you, the worship team is going to sing a song called Creed. In the song Creed, it says over and over and over, I believe this, I believe that, I believe this, I believe that. That word believe is same word as I confess, I acknowledge. I believe, I confess, I acknowledge. And once again, I just want to make the emphasis, not like the demons do, not just lip service, no, but with our whole heart, we embrace, we cling to, with our whole heart, all of our mind, all of our strength, we believe, we confess.